One. Hello and welcome to the Hellas Football Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen, and joining me after a few weeks of trying to get the time zones right, it's Nigor. How are you, man?
Oh, I'm good. As you said, the time zones have just killed us now because it's now a 9 hour time difference between Australia and the UK, and that's just it's made it so hard for me to get on. But good to be back to talk all things, not only Greek football this time around, but I can also get to talk about my other hobby, my other obsession and passion, Aston Villa.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a mini preview as it happens. So it's good timing, Nico, for you to be back on.
Yeah, there you go.
Before we get to all that, there is a ton of stuff we have to talk about today because there's midweek fixtures, as I said to you before we start recording, there's weekend fixtures, there's Europe, obviously, there's other Greeks abroad related things, there's a Greek Cup, ton of stuff. So we'll jump right in. So we'll go to the midweek fixtures. So, of course, after I said that Lamine and Aris weren't going to do anything else in the Super League playoffs. Of course, they both get a good result against clubs that are vying for the title. So we'll start with Lamine, 1-1 draw with Balk. So Lamine actually took the lead here through Slivko in the 45th minute, and it took a Stefan Schwab late equaliser to get Balk the point. So nearly losing away from home to Lamine, and obviously Lamine had some players sent off as well. But yeah, we won't talk too much about these, but it is at the time it was pretty massive, Nigo, considering no one expected this result, and Balk were lucky to get the draw in the end.
At the time, I thought that was bog done because that was fresh off their European exit, basically, as well. I thought that was bog done for the league, but they are in it up to their eyeballs now and a huge chance in winning it.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll get on to their weekend game when we can. But Olympiacos did the same thing, 1-1 draw away to Aris. Aris, pretty good for their draw, to be fair. They capitalized on some mistakes made by Olympiacos, absolutely allowed them to Moron to go through a big mistake from Ndoye. They literally won the ball. He had a slip midway through the pitch and he scored to put it to Olympiacos ahead. There was a goal that had been ruled out in the first half from Olympiacos, probably the correct decision overall. And then a couple minutes later, Eyüp El Kabi equalised. Olympiacos had 23 shots on in this match, 9 on target. We couldn't find a winner. And Aris, like I said, were good for their draw there. Moving on, we go to, oh great, my, because I'm on a, once again, I'm on my laptop, not on my
Ike
PC.
three. Unfortunately, it's Ike three, Panathinaikos nil, unfortunately.
Yes, it is, Nico. So I'm sorry, it's a bad start for you with regards to Panathinaikos, but we will get them to Villa, I promise. So yeah, both 3-0 winners for Ajax. Eliasson scored in the 7th minute. Ezra Pons doubled the Ajax lead in the 38th minute, and in the 69th minute, Eliasson scored a brace to make it 3-0 for Ajax at Hagia Sophia. Nico, no, we haven't got an Ajax supporter here to kind of talk about the winning side, but we can talk about the losing side in greater depth. What happened at Hagia Sophia there?
I don't know what happened because we were coming off four straight wins and we were all quietly thinking, can we do something? Is this year going to be different to last year? I'd love to know what happened between Lamia away and Ike away because that Lamia was like a five-star performance, 5-0 domination. Everything was looking good and that we could, all signs were pointing to us taking it to the final match day. I don't know what happened. Everything that we were doing well, we neglected it, and it was our worst performance of the season until that point. Because we'll get on to the latest disaster after that, but it was a total shocker. And I may as well say this stat now: we've played 8 games of these playoffs. 6 out of the 8 games, we've gone down 1-0 inside the first 10-15 minutes of a game. That's not a championship winning team. So this season, we ultimately got what we deserved.
And
That's
it,
that.
yeah.
It all starts from there, and this isn't. Well, I'll get on later after the artist one. What's happened with the off field and an incident involving our player of the season and coaching staff and all that. But what I will say is, last season, we didn't know where the goals were going to come from, but defensively we were sound. We were rock solid, the best defensive record, and we backed ourselves defensively to get results. And this goes back to Jovanovic as well, even when he was in charge. We neglected it. I know the Magnussen ACL, that was a huge turning point. that set us back. But even before that, the signs were there that defensively we had regressed this season, even though our attack has improved out of sight. If you look at the goals we've scored. But if you say that about our attack in these two games that have mattered most, held goalless at Opapa Arena and held goalless by Addis at Leoforos in a preview of the cup final. So even our attacks deserted us. Bernard was a big loss for this game, but it doesn't excuse, like, you're playing, that was essentially our final, that game against Ike, and we only had like two efforts at goal. We totally outplayed. We could have lost by more, in fairness.
And for Ike, just to kind of give them their perspective, I guess, you know, at the time it felt like that was it almost. You know, they were the favourites. They had a comfortable lead on everyone else going into the last few games of the season, I guess.
Yeah. Look,
with other teams dropping points at the time.
Yeah, no, look, definitely. Absolutely favourites for sure. But I said to a lot of people after that, Ike will not go 3 out of 3. They'll definitely drop it one, if not two games. But I said it as well, Panathinaikos will not win 3 out of 3. And pretty much what I said happened in the next round.
Yeah. And speaking of the next round, we'll start with the playouts, actually, because with other results happening and Gifishia losing, we'll start with them. So they lost 3-2 to Bastianina. Bastianina said, I was going to say, Nico, Bastianina essentially said to Gifishia, if we're going down, you're coming with us. And Gifishia are relegated from the Super League with Bastianina. Gifishia, I guess, showed a bit more fight than Bast towards the latter stage of the playouts, but it wasn't good enough. Their performances in other games, and so they are down. And in other games, Panathinaikos won 1-0 against Adromitos, and Volos won 1-0 against Panathinaikos. So both Volos and Panathinaikos are safe from the drop. They will be in the Super League next season, unless Volos get disbanded. We still don't know what's going to happen with that. We don't know if Veos is going to remove Volos from the Greek football entirely, and someone else gets an extra place and stays up, or another team from Super League 2 gets the chance to play in Super League next season. We'll find out, I'm sure, once the season has ended. And the last playout game is Asteras drawing 1-1 with Offi in Tripoli. So, a big weekend for the playouts, and that's essentially over. I think there's one round of the playouts left, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, there is one round left, and everything's kind of set in stone.
It essentially means nothing. And really, I was going to ask you, what did Gifishia add this season? Whatever we basically predicted in preseason, that they'll go straight back down, here we are.
Yeah, but to be fair to them, they showed a lot more fight than I thought they would. I thought they would be the rock-bottom team. So credit to them for trying.
That's true.
And they go down.
No, that's true.
And at least I feel like they could potentially come back up again next season. We'll have to see. But I guess the credit goes to Panathinaikos, who I also thought, you know, naturally being a promoted side, would go down immediately upon coming up. They've solidified themselves, and they've set themselves up nicely for next season. They play good football. They have some decent players. Their manager's solid as well. So if they can build on that and not have a second season syndrome and go down next year, that they did themselves proud this campaign. We will move to the playoffs. So first, Olympiacos 4-1 winners over Lamia. So Chiquinho scored a very nice goal to open up scoring in the 24th minute. 4 minutes later, Fran Navarro made it 2-0. And in the second half, Daniel Podence, who ran the show pretty much all game, nice chip over the goalkeeper to make it 3-0. Tosic pulled one back for Lamia, going all over the place today, for Lamia, and it kind of got a little bit nervy. Our substitutes came on, didn't make a huge amount of impact until later on in the game, but we sort of warmed back into it, and Sotiris Alexandropoulos made it 4-1 for Olympiacos in the 93rd minute. So Almeida played the backups pretty much for the vast majority of the game. They did okay. We got the result. Overall, it was a fun afternoon in Piraeus, because all eyes are on the Aston Villa game, which we will get onto. So not much more to say, really. Overall, really good. The backups did well, and we did what we had to do. And with other results, and it was, I mean, the result became more important with other games happening, like other results in the playoffs. So we'll get onto that in a bit. But first, it will go, once my computer decides to load properly, we will go to the next game. So, apparently Google is not giving me any Any help today?
Ella.
There we go. My internet absolutely just caved just there. I think I'm back.
You're back.
There we go. Oh, my internet is absolutely having a field day today with me. It's
It's
great.
being
It's
overused.
absolutely great.
All the
I
appearances.
know. Yeah. I know, too much, too many podcasts. I'm going on too many podcasts at the moment. So we'll go to Panathinaikos first, Nikos. So you guys lost at home 1-0 to Aris. In the second minute, it was Zamora, I believe, who put, yeah, it was Zamora who put
Get
Aris 1-0 up, and that was how it ended, pretty much. You guys had 26 shots, six on target. But yeah, once again, Nico, what happened? Like, because Aris, they nick points off of us midweek, and then they go and do this at Leoforos.
the two games as a whole. So this one, we all knew after the Ike disaster, we knew our season was over because we were never winning three out of three. But that him even knew it, and he named an absolutely tragic lineup for this game, and we got what we deserved. As soon as that lineup came out, you knew we were in for a rude awakening in this one, and that's exactly how it panned out. Just shocking, shocking, fucking shocking, all around. All around, and that's our
And
season in a nutshell. There's been false dawn after false dawn, waiting for the team to get going. We put together a good streak. Then we put together a very bad streak, and here we are, likely to end the season now, somehow in fourth, needing to win the cup final to secure European football for next season in the Europa League qualifiers. That if there's no Europe next season, that sets us back so many years. That's a disaster on all fronts. As I said, Dedim lineup very poor. You've got to say it as it is here, and he put the pressure on himself when he kept using the word in every press conference at the start, Protaflima. So he they're his words, not mine, no one else's. He hasn't got it, the Protaflima, so he's failed. And you can't blame Alafouzos if he gets rid of him, but Alafouzos is everything that's wrong with the club is Alafouzos. I know a lot of people are gonna say that our season was gone on the 26th of December 2023 when he made the very controversial decision to sack everyone's favorite Jovanovic to bring in Terim. That's true to an extent. My opinion, a little bit different because I think we were a sinking ship, even with Jovanovic there. And even if Jovanovic stayed, yeah, we may have been more competitive, but we weren't winning a Protaflima. We were sinking fast. Jovanovic blew the 10-point lead last season in the league. This season, we're bottom of our Europa League group. We're fresh off the Atromitos disaster with Brignoli in goals. We had that Brignoli issue going on in the background behind the scenes that then went public. We couldn't win a derby up until that certain point in time as well. And two good coaches have been failed by the one constant in this, which is the playing group. These players just they've been exposed now by two coaches. The core in this team is nowhere near good enough. It's going to be a big and busy summer ahead, a European summer ahead, because not only if we do get into Europe, we're going to have to start the qualifiers from like early mid-July against, okay, minnows in Europe if we win the cup. But there's so much uncertainty is what I'm trying to say. That he may or may not be the coach, and there's valid points on both sides to keep him and get rid of him. I wouldn't be pissed off at all if they got rid of him because he's failed in his objective this season. The positive in my eyes for keeping him is I don't trust the club, especially Papadimitriou, who's more to blame equal for me with Alafouzos in the blaming all this. I don't trust the club and Papadimitriou to make the signings needed to get us in contention for a Protaflima. That's where our big issue is there. Like I know you mentioned in last week's episode, like the Olympiakos, the youth side, and Bauk at the moment are the best in Greece for producing young talent. They used to be Panathinaikos. That Euro 2004 core were all Panathinaikos players. Alafouzos has turned his back on it. There's no one coming through. No money invested in the academies, the youth setup. There's no one coming through. It's a disaster, and that's what sets us back. And Papadimitriou, clueless. He's become a cheerleader now, like as if he's fighting to save his job because Terim took over the signings. a lot of off-field issues. And as I said, Alafouzos is at the center of everything. I remember Andoni and myself in the early days of this podcast saying, as long as Alafouzos is here, we'll never see a Protathlima. So far, we've been proven correct.
And just going back to Terim then, Nico, because it seems like there is a...
Even the players, if you look at them individually, 40 great season. Other than that, Arao's been the only pick of the signings in that Jovanovic Papadimitriou window, where we went to a lot of the players that were recruited were 30 and over. It's an old team. I think we're either the oldest or the second oldest team in the league. That's an issue that's got to be rectified in this upcoming window, and that takes more than a window, sadly.
I'm back.
So,
internet again. I was just about to ask you about
Terim. You know what? It means nothing. You're just me ranting.
Don't worry, Ray. I could leave you here just to rant for the rest of the podcast. But just on Terim, really, because there were rumors that Terim was close to being sacked, or at least kind of being let go at the end of the season. But then those reports have now been quashed by the club. But how much validity do you think there is?
I don't trust the club at all. Anything with Alafouzos, I don't trust at all. No way. It wouldn't shock me if the initial rumor was that he's gone now with three games to go, the final two games and the cup final. That was the initial rumor, which was pure lunacy. End of the season, as I said, you can cop it if he goes because he's failed in his objectives.
So, I mean, look, I guess credit's due to Aris because, like I said, they have done what everyone kind of expects them to do maybe before the playoffs began, where they're not going to be in the title race. They may have an outside shot for fourth, but they have started to pick off points against the big boys and have made the title race more interesting in that respect, I guess. And so we'll move on to the big game, the big one. There's a lot to talk about this one.
Before we let it go, sorry, Stephen, before we let it go, I'll touch very, very quickly on the Ioannidis incident. I'm sure you've seen it as well. He was in his car after the game getting attacked and had abuse hurled at him by a very stupid fan. Whoever that fan is, hang your head in shame. You're a disgrace. 40, we're all with you. Our player of the season, where we'd be without him this season, I don't even want to think about it. And the 40 was screaming. He barked back. Like, 40 himself was going off. He was screaming, I'm playing injured. I'm taking injections to play. And stuff like that's only going to drive him away from the club in the summer.
Yeah, and I saw the clips of that as well, and it's disgraceful because at the end of the day, he's had an excellent season for you guys, Nico, and you know, he's a full Greek international. He's done well for the Ethniki as well, and you know, it's not his fault that where Panathinaikos maybe find themselves at the moment, and we'll get onto the situation for each club in the title race once we're done with the double-headed eagle derby, as it were. But yeah, we'll get onto it now. So 3-2 for Balk at Dumba, massive result in the title race, which kind of shakes everything up even more. So Constantelias in the third minute made it 1-0 for Balk. A few minutes later, Bineda made it 1-1. And in the 75th minute, Ajax actually went ahead. They were 2-1 ahead through a goal from Vida in the 75th minute. But Balk came back with an equaliser from Constantelias, so he got a brace in that game. And in the 90th minute, Baba Rahman made it 3-2. Massive, massive win for Balk. And before we talk about the incidents that happened after the final whistle, full credit to Balk, like I said, Nico. You know, it's Ajax have been a tough team to beat this season for a multitude of reasons. And so it's to get a smash and grab like that, in a sense, it's massive for the title race. And Balk, who have been sinking a little bit in the last few weeks, have got this huge result.
Oh, sensational from Balk. They've flipped the league on its head. Like, as we said, they had the heartbreak of getting knocked out in Europe. It was a limp. I know yourself and Alec touched on it. It was a very limp, lethargic performance. And then they had the bad result in the league with Lamia. But they pulled it out of nowhere at the end. They've turned the league on its head again. And again, if they were to win the league, I don't think anyone can have any... knocks on them, because correct me if I'm wrong, it feels like to me at least they've spent the longest time this season out of the big four in first place. That's what it feels like to me.
It's weird, isn't it? Because I said it with Alec middle of like last episode. Every single team in this, every single one of the big four have had their opportunity at first place, which is almost unheard of in Greek football. We know it was Olympiakos very early doors, then AEK for a bit, then you guys, Panathinaikos for a bit, then Balk for a bit, which felt like they were going to secure it.
Yeah, they seem to have it for a while, though, it felt like.
Yeah, and then
Yeah, out of everyone.
weirdly, when Lisicki signed that new contract, that's when their form started to get a bit patchy. But yeah, look, full credit to Balk, and I guess now is the time to move on to the elephant in the room. So there was an incident, if no one has seen it, I'm be shocked if you haven't seen it because it was all over social media. So Matias Almeida, he, I believe it was a member of the Balk kind of coaching staff, he throttled, and a lot of players had to surround them and get them all separated. And there has now been, I think after a few days, he has been called to a hearing about this, but no punishment for him or the club has been issued yet, Nico. And also, there have been other things with regards to Balk as well, like I which we did end up adding as well to the initial report that we put out there. But I completely forgot what it was. Could you remind me what happened with regards to Balk as well in that game? I
I
think there was
think
like a
that they've
banner.
been. Oh, there was a banner. So I wouldn't start the game until it went down.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
No,
So, so
the big
it's.
talking point was the incident with Almeida, obviously.
Yes. And so it's going to be, it's interesting to see how the punishment is dealt out, because at the end of the day, it's very clear what he did. And I think that it's something that I feel like, look, I'm not an Ike fan, and there isn't an Ike fan. Alec's not here. Greg's not here to kind of give their perspective and give the Ike perspective. But it is interesting that the punishment hasn't necessarily been dealt with as quickly as maybe it would have been for another manager. And I'm not saying, I won't talk about bias on here or for any
No,
particular
well, you're
club,
right.
but
It's true. No, you're right.
yeah. And
You're right
so
because
I
there's
yeah.
games coming soon after Easter. We're back for games.
Yeah, and so normally there would be a touchline ban for Almeida, probably 2, 3 games, and that would be that him essentially out as on the touchline for the end of the season. But we'll have to see what kind of punishment is dished out on the club, and obviously Balk for the banner, they probably will get punished for that as well. Alexis Gutias came out and made a formal complaint on behalf of Olympiakos about it as well. I'm not quite sure why he did that, but there we go. I mean, it did, in a sense, it did sort of start the whole process for him going to that hearing as well. So yeah, it's not nice to see. At the end of the day, you lose with integrity in and for him to do that is a bit crazy on his part. But there we go. That's Greek football, and obviously it made headline news, of course.
Yeah. No, as you hit the nail on the head with two key words that you use there, Greek football. Everyone, we expected something like this to go down in the playoffs when tensions are high. Of course, he shouldn't have done it. Of course, it's a stupid look. It's a very bad look. In terms of punishment, and this is coming from me, I hate that club. I can't say it any other way, but there is no way you can dock them any points. I don't think they'll be docked points, nor should
No,
they.
no.
As you said, a touchline, maybe one game, maybe maximum 2 games. That's it. Get on with it next.
Yeah, it's not, it's nothing, it's
Because
not
as
like
you
the
said, we expect,
situation.
and that's not condoning. Yeah, that's not condoning it because. But what I'm trying to say is, we all saw something like this coming. With any of the four clubs.
Yeah, and it's not like a fan got involved or there were fans involved that then in within the stadium. That would obviously, with the current rules and
Then.
regulations, that would be a minus 3 points, three or minus 1.3 nil loss, whatever. But there probably should be punishment on Almeida personally. There should be at least one game touchline ban for that because it's not acceptable behavior. And like I said, I
And
think any
probably a
other
fine.
manager, probably a fine as well. And like I said, if any other manager from any of the other big clubs had done that, I think the same punishment would be given to them. It's just,
Yeah.
it is interesting that that punishment hasn't been dealt out with yet. Maybe like with the Greek Cup, Baldagos doesn't want to deal with it until Greek Easter is done. I don't know.
Mess.
Well, I'm
It, even you're writing what you're saying. Balk will probably cop something as well because we had a. Oh, I can't remember how much it was, a fine. In one game without gate 13 in our home playoff game against Lamia for a pre-game choreo tifo that went up.
Yeah, and so
But
I
Bath will probably
guess,
get something similar without Gate 4, I'd imagine.
yeah, of course. And you know, we've seen stuff like that happen where a whole stadium has been closed for games, you know, but some games have been played behind closed doors. So we'll have to see what punishment Balca given, what Almeida's given, whether Ayaka fined, like we said, points deduction feels extremely harsh, and I don't think that will happen. But and it's also dependent on whether Ebol, who are outgoing after this season, could be bothered to deal with it, which, you know, they are the Greek Football Federation. They should, but they don't
Yeah,
deal
well,
with
that's a bit.
stuff. Yeah.
They might not even deal with it. Yeah.
Yeah,
With a hearing. They
exactly.
might just do a hearing and that's it.
Exactly. We'll put an update out for when whatever result comes for both of those incidents. But yeah, we'll look at the Greek Super League table for now. So going into Greek Easter, there will not be fixtures this weekend. AEK still top of the league. Oh no, that's, yeah, no, the AEK are still top of the league, sorry,
Yeah.
on 75 points. Balk in second with a game in hand on 71 points. Panathinaikos with 34 games played on 71 points too. Olympiakos with a game in hand have 70 points. Aris way back in fifth with 52 points. And Lamia sixth on 35 points. And then just to quickly check the playouts, Panathinaikos, best of the rest, joint on 35 points with Asteras Tripolis and Ofi. Adromitos on 34 points, Panathinaikos on 33, Volos on 32, and relegated Kifisia on 28, and relegated Bathyanina bottom of the table on 22 points. So our friend Alec Macquarie, Nico, put out a tweet
Yes.
that did really that actually banged, by the way, and I don't use that term very often. But he essentially said this: so if AEK win their final two games, they win the league. If Olympiakos win their final three games, they win the league. If Balk win their final three games and AEK fail to beat Olympiakos, they win the league. If ba and apparently Panathinaikos need a miracle despite being in third, but Olympiakos have a game in hand, obviously. So it's crazy going into the last couple games of the season like that. That result with, you know, Aris midweek and Lamia midweek, and then what happened between Balk and AEK has just turned everything on its head. And it genuinely, no, you know, no matter, I honestly, in my opinion, no matter who wins, it has been one of the best, most exciting seasons in Greek football in recent times, and it's one of the best, most competitive leagues in Europe this season as well. Especially one of the best leagues outside of the top five at the moment, in my, you know, very biased opinion.
We said it, remember, almost a year ago, saying how big this season's going to be.
Yeah.
I was going to get onto it later. For me personally, it's fallen so flat. Like the last couple of games, just they've left a real sour taste in the mouth for me personally, as you'd expect. Because even if we win the cup, yeah, it's a cup. But I remember the last time we won the cup, Andoni and myself came literally live right on the full time whistle of that cup final. After we beat Balkan, and we're buzzing, we celebrated it. If we beat Artis, I'm not going to be, celebrating it. Yeah, sure, it's good. It's a cup. Add that to the collection, and that's about it. I'm not, there's no way you can celebrate it like full on. It's a failure for us. The national team obviously won't be at the Euros as well. But as you said, it's been a wild season with lots of twists and turns, and yeah, definitely more competitive than last season.
And I
In
guess,
terms of yeah, who's going to win it from here is obviously it's hard to say. I still think AEK are the favourites because they've got the points on the board. That's the only
yes.
reason in my eyes that they're the favourites still. Because sure, Balkan Olympiakos can, if they win their games, will win the league. But AEK have the points in the board. Balkan Olympiakos have to play the game to get the points on the board. That's the difference. The schedule plays a role because it was meant to be Balkan Olympiakos at Dumba. Now and today, tomorrow, wasn't it? Then
Yes,
that's
something
had to
like
be pushed
that.
back again. Yeah. So the schedule, I'm not sure. Have they set a date for that? I don't think they have.
Yes, they have. I think it's
Okay.
the I think it's actually the next game we play after so after the tie with yeah, so after the tie with the for both legs with Aston Villa, we then play Balk on the weekend. So that's massive. We go to Dumba after playing in Gareth against Aston Villa.
Okay, so you got a bulk on that weekend,
Yes.
right? Okay, I
And
must have missed that.
so,
Okay, so
you know what, Nico? I mean, from an Olympiakos perspective, it's very easy to say, oh yeah, just win three games and that's it, we won the league. But then you have to look in context. Like, yes, we beat Bark and we could very well do it again, but they've just come off a massive result against AEK and they have a few weeks off, whereas we play in Europe. which we'll get to in a minute.
Spot
We
on.
have been unlucky against this season. There have been the game in Gadeis-Gagou was a bit of a robbery from them with regards to the poor refereeing. And Panathinaikos, you boys, we haven't looked very good against this season. But the best we looked was the very first game we played against each other before the game got abandoned, and that was after we equalized. So it's going to be interesting. I guess the Greek Cup as well, but in the league, we haven't looked so great against you. So in context, Olympiakos have a very tough task because we have to beat Bark away, which will be tough because they'll be up for it. And we have to beat Ike and Panathinaikos, who we haven't beaten this season in any competition.
And you've got the two European legs. I think that's what's going to get you guys, just the amount of games you've played in comparison to say Ike. And Bulk is the unknown for me.
Yeah, and I guess with us, at least Mendilibar has done excellently with rotation. He's pretty much played every single player available to him, barring like third choice goalkeeper, and that's it. So we'll have to see what happens, and injury dependent dependencies, I guess, once we get to that point. But we will go into Europe, Nico. So mini preview time: Aston Villa versus
Oh.
Olympiakos at Villa Park tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. UK time, and I guess 10 p.m. Greece time as well. Nigo, massive game, for Olympiakos, I guess for Villa as well, because with where you were 10 years ago and where Olympiakos is now, it's exciting, isn't it? It's very exciting.
Beyond exciting. I don't have the words for it. I'm so excited. I can't believe it. It's almost upon us. I've never seen Villa play in a European semi-final before, and here we are against a Greek team, Olympiakos of all Greek teams. I can't believe it. I'm still in shock, honestly. And you guys got in on penalties. So did we. It was a both were wild finishes, and to get this far. And you said Villa 10 years ago, Villa 5 years ago, we're a championship club, and now
That's
we're.
true.
Almost, we're knocking on the door now of Champions League, from Championship to Champions League in 5 years. The best thing that's happened to this club are the owners, NSWE, and then Unai Emery after that. It's been an unbelievable roller coaster following this club the last 5 years. And I love the way we've done it. It's not been a rapid rise. It's been year on year, slow sort of year on year progression to get to this stage. Obviously, a lot of money invested along the way by the owners, who I love them. There's no other way of putting it. Emery, Premier League manager of the season in my eyes. Ollie Watkins, player of the season in the league for me. He's in like double digits for goals and assists, close to Golden Boot. And also, as a side note for us Villa fans, so it's on a Friday morning for us here in Australia, Good Friday. So I'll just by chance as well, I'll be on leave from work so I can proper, enjoy it. At the same time, essentially, as we play Olympiakos in the Conference League first leg semi, it's Chelsea versus Tottenham, which is a huge game for us Villa supporters, because if Chelsea win, then a win for us on the weekend against Brighton, we're like 99, 95% there for Champions League. So we'll be keeping an eye basically on two games. And then for me, because it always comes in three, I've got Panathinaikos basketball at the same time in a game we have to win against Maccabi Tel Aviv.
So you're just
But
going to be watching three
as for
monitors
this
at
game,
once.
yeah, exactly. As for this game, so I do a Villa podcast as well, Aussie Villains podcast, it's called. And before we last recorded, before our Chelsea game that we drew 2-all, I said, please, 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 no injuries. What happened? More injuries. So we've had an injury crisis basically all season at Villa. Three ACLs in one season, two of them from the beginning. And we've lost Emi Martinez, who was suspended anyway for the first leg. He's facing an uphill battle to even play in the second leg now. And a very influential midfielder who's probably been, in my eyes at least, the signing of our season, Youri Tielemans, is out, probably for both legs. We've only got like 12, 13 fit senior players available to choose from. It's remarkable what Emery's producing at the moment with such limited resources. I get it, we've spent and all that, but yeah, it's absolutely remarkable, because we played a lot of games as well, like Olympiakos, like Lille, who we beat, had that week off in the league. Villa, we've been playing two games a week, nonstop, basically. But I think in a sense, it's good to get momentum going. I've heard you were great, by the way, on the UTV podcast and Claret and Blue podcast.
Oh, thank you.
I suggest any Greek football fan as a whole, anyone in general, should give those two a listen with yourself on there. A lot of Olympiakos supporters will state the obvious and think Ollie Watkins is the danger man, which is a fair call.
Which is what I said.
That's stating the obvious, of course, but something different for me, Morgan Rogers. I'm not sure how familiar you are with him. He is an unbelievable player. I don't know what Man City back then were thinking letting him go. So he's come back home to the West Midlands. He started out at West Brom, then he ended up at City. We signed him from Middlesbrough permanently back in January. I thought he'd play the odd game here and there. He's like one of our most important players at the moment. The youngest Villa player now to score in three straight home games. And different types of goals, and he looks like he belongs. He's got the build, and Emery's going to mold him into something special, I think, in the years to come. We signed him for a bargain fee, whatever it was, I think 8 million, 12 million, whatever it was. If we were to sell him now, which we're not, we'd be getting 30, 40 million already, minimum.
And
he's one to watch. Leon Bailey, Diaby on his day can be good. Douglas Luiz, his form's dipped recently. I love John McGinn, of course. Yeah, look, the threats, of course, all over the park. And I think we're going to have our back line, a feature, the way we play our style. Mm. It's a high line. It's not necessarily a high line like we're playing it dangerously because we're so good at doing it now. You've probably seen the stats as well. Since Emery's come in, no team's kept an opposition offside more than us. And it's by some margin, like the gap between us and second. We do that high line. We execute it so well. I'm happy Masuras is out because I think he had the speed to maybe trouble someone like Pau Torres. So yeah. I think that's a big out for you guys. We've got outs of our own as well. Olympiakos, I'll let you take the floor with Olympiakos very soon. Your first semi-final appearance in 99 years. Our second ever semi-final appearance, first since 1982 when we won the European Cup. So all to play for. We have to go for it. I think we're gonna want to assert ourselves in this game and take it by the scruff of the neck, play on the front foot, and try to get as many goals as possible in the first leg to avoid having to go to Olympiakos away second leg and having to really dig in and fight for it.
Mm. And as you said, Nico, I was on two podcasts in the space of 2 days this week. So if you haven't already, check out the UTV podcast. I did a bit of a preview with Lucon there, and then also the Claret and Blue podcast I did with Dan. And I should be back on both of them actually next week. And I'm looking forward to it. It was a really good chat with them. I follow the Premier League, and as I always say, I never have a horse in the race, but I have followed Villa a lot this season, and they've been very impressive. Not where I expected them to be honest, in the Premier League. So, huge plaudits for Unai Emery for getting them very close to securing top four. And Europe is kind of, like I said in one of the podcasts, it's where I expected you guys to be because you're the favourites. You have the biggest budget, the biggest wage bill, best quality players. So you guys are where I expected them to be. But on Olympiakos, as I said in the other podcast I did, it's huge for us. It's the biggest tie in the history of the club. We finally get the European run we've always wanted. We've heard the stories of obviously Panathinaikos getting to the final of the old European Cup against Ajax. Ajax Athens have done it in the old UEFA Cup as well.
Twice as well. Semis, Panathinaikos. Yeah. 96 semi-final Ajax, who we beat in the first leg away, and in the 80s as well, both in the Champions League or European Cup / Champions League.
And this is my point, Nico. Like, for all of our consistency in Europe and making the group stages, going to the round of 16, we made the quarterfinals of the Champions League in 98-99. Olympiakos have never had that European run that the other big boys had in Europe. Even Balk, when they reached the quarterfinals of the Conference League a couple of years ago and this season, we hadn't done that in the Conference League or in Europe at all for a long time. So to get to this point, it's huge. And I'm really, really excited. And, I know Masuras is going to be a big miss for us, but we still have a lot of fit players available. And you know what's also really interesting? Two former European winners managing against each other in, Mendilibar, who won the Europa League last season, and Unai Emery, who just knows how to win the Europa League like better than anyone
else.
Not
only that, they're both from the Basque region.
Yeah, they are. That's very true. It's very, very true.
They know each other. Both of them will know each other inside out.
And so going into this game, I'm very nervous, Nick, because obviously th this is the first knockout stage game this season where we start the first leg away. And I think that we Olympiakos need to approach this very carefully. We need to be on the counter-attack because you boys, I presume, will have most of the possession. It's gonna be the hardest game these players will ever play or will have ever played thus far in their careers for Olympiakos. And so I hope they're ready. I hope the players that make mistakes don't make mistakes, and
You
we know who
think
we're
it'll be
talking.
defensive from you guys, the game plan?
I don't know if we'll be defensive necessarily. We're not going to park it, but I think we will play on the counter. And it's how Mendilibar has been able to play against sides who may have better quality on paper overall against us. We did it against Fenerbahce in the first leg. We did it against in West Ham in the group stages of the Europa League as well. So, we're very capable of doing that. I guess I know against West Ham it was with Diego Martinez, but the players are capable of playing that way. And so I think Mendilibar will take a bit more of a conservative approach than he will at Gareth Southgate, depending on what the end result is in Birmingham.
That's what I was getting at. I think if it's like 50th, 60th, 70th minute and the score's 1-0 to Villa, you don't think Olympiacos might try dig in and just hold out for a 1-0
I don't know
loss and
because.
take it back to Greece?
See, if we had a weekend game, I probably would have said we will. But because we have Greek Easter, so there's that time off for the players to recuperate. I could actually see us going a bit more all out in this game, especially depending if it's a narrow scoreline for one team or the other, because then we get that sort of weekend off, and then we come back on Thursday to Gareth Southgate, where I mean, obviously, if it's 3-4-0 to Aston Villa, I don't really know what will happen. We'll still try go all out for it. That's what we did against Maccabi Tel Aviv, but this is a different beast altogether. So we'll have to see what happens, Nico. I'm nervous, but also extremely excited. I tried my utmost to get tickets for this game, but it's as you can imagine, it's very, very difficult to get even home tickets for this game.
Yeah, no. As we both said, it's a huge game for both clubs. Olympiacos never gone into a stage like this before, and generations, two, three generations of Villa fans have never seen this before. So massive, massive, massive occasion for both sets of fans. Look, we've got the players to really hurt you guys, even
For
despite all
sure.
our injuries, to really rack up the goals. The Chelsea performance, I don't know. They had a game plan, and we just don't match up well against them. They were the better side against us at Villa Park, and probably unlucky that it ended 2-2. We were lucky to get a point in that one. Probably a crucial point come season's end for us for the top four race. Look, if you guys come out and do attack us, I think that's going to play into our hands.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think. Look, if you what I'm trying to get at here is like a score prediction. I don't think we're going to win by 5-6 nil. Honestly, we just got too many players out. I'd snap your hand off now for like a 3-0, and even that, I don't know
Yeah.
if we can do that with these injuries. I'm thinking either 2-0 if we have a great day, 3-1 or something like that. Because defensively, that's been our weakness this season.
And I think that with us, we had Lamia, so all of our key players were rested, and we comfortably beat them with our backup team. So we have a lot more of a rested team. We have a lot more players available who are like key players available. So we'll have to see what happens, Nick. I mean, do you want to give a very vague scoreline prediction before we head off to the latter bits of the news we have to talk about, or
I'll
you're gonna
go.
leave it?
Oh, look, why not? Why not? We've got to have some fun with it. Otherwise, what's the point?
Exactly.
You know, boy, 3-1 Villa.
All right.
Defensively, I don't trust us sometimes.
I'm gonna say the same prediction I gave on the other podcast, which is 1-1 to Olympiacos, although I could very well Steve Villa, to make it clear, Villa are an excellent team, and I think that we are the underdogs. But I think that's where Olympiacos have been best this season when we haven't been the favourites in certain ties. So let's see what happens, Nick. I'm very excited, and I'm sure you'll
Yeah,
let
bring
me
it on.
know if Villa absolutely smashes.
Oh, I sure will. Not only
You will.
you and many, many others.
Oh yes, I bet. I bet you
Others
will.
that deserve popping it 10 times harder.
Yeah, exactly. But look, the journey, if Olympiacos' journey ends here, then we've still had an amazing campaign, and it's good for us. And we focus on trying to finish as high as possible in the Super League so we can actually get Europe for next season. Because like you said for Panathinaikos, if we finish fourth and then Aris win the Greek Cup, that's a disaster for Olympiacos. And it's not the fault of Mendilibar or the current, well, it's more on the players from who have played the vast majority of the season and what happened prior to him coming in. But we'll get to that when we get to that. So just to finish off, we've got a few news items. So, and you know, this does actually relate to the Greek Cup and Panathinaikos, Nikos. So EPL have announced the Greek Cup final between Addis and Panathinaikos will be held on the 25th of May. So one day after my birthday, actually, 8:30 Greek time at the at Volos. The reports have confirmed that the match will be played behind closed doors. So they weren't willing to pay the extra little bit of money to put the efficient security and electronic ticketing into the stadium to get fans in. They clearly didn't want fans at the ground, Nikos. So the Greek Cup final will be behind closed doors. As a Panathinaikos fan, how do you feel about that?
I'd be lying if I think I if I said I'd be disgusted. I'd be lying because I expected it. It's not a shock. This is an inept organization and one that's very scared. Very scared to make the big decisions or popular decisions. They're out of their depth. They take their time with making the decisions that they more often than not make the wrong decisions. We all saw this coming from the beginning, and it's so sad because. There's no real, all right, of course, there's always, you're going to have tension when you have two clubs there, two sets of fans, I'm trying to say there. But it's not like it's Balkh Ayk at Volos back in 2017, that cup final. Honestly, if you had, I've got no issue with playing it at Volos. You can easily have 5,000 Panathinaikos, 5,000 artists, and keep a gap, a distance between the two sets of fans. And as we were saying in our chat, I don't think any violence would happen. Like, it's not like it's Panathinaikos, Olympiacos. And I think this season, like, how many times have Greek fans gone away in Europe and nothing's happened? I get it's different in Greece, but I honestly don't think anything would have happened. And it's another slap in the face for Greek football fans and especially those in Greece that wanted to go to the game. And it's going to take the gloss off the game. Very,
Completely.
very unfortunate. I mean, I'm saying this from a Panathinaikos point of view. How about Aris? When was the last time they made the cup final? It must have been against us when they lost in 2010. They had like
That was the
25,
last time, yeah.
30,000. Yeah, 25, 30,000 odd Aris fans came down to Athens, and they're not going to get to experience that this time.
Yeah, and I think just from a neutral's perspective, it's just a dis what I mean, how many more times can I say it? It's just a disgrace, and it's not only
It
highlighting
happened
the
last season, yeah.
yeah, but it's not. But you know what, Nico? It's not only highlighting the ineptitude of this Greek Football Federation, but it's also highlighting the fact that they can't be bothered because they are going out after this season. They will not be in charge of Greek football by the time the summer comes. There will be elections. There will be new people coming in, hopefully, who can do a better job. But considering the predecessors, it's unlikely. And it's just they don't care. They don't give a crap. And that's evident. They don't want to fix Greek football. And as we've been saying for the last couple of years, they want to shove things under the rug. They want to just get things going on as in their way. And they want to then go to people and be like, oh, look at the things we did that are good.
They
And
will.
we've actually and then everyone's going to be like, well, what did you do realistically? You've done nothing.
They're going to
You've
say
done
the
less than
league's never been
nothing.
this close. They're going to say the league's never been this close, and that's because of us and the playoffs and all that.
Yeah, but
They
they didn't
they'll hang their
instill the
heads on that.
playoffs. They
Yeah.
didn't even put the playoffs in. And
Yeah.
so just oh, it's just a shit show. I can't wait for Baldagos and his beloved friends to leave the
But
bloody airport.
it's Greek football. So you never know what's around the corner. The new people could be equally as bad, if not worse.
I know, and that's what I fear
They
too,
could
and
be
that's
the
why
pessimistic Greek coming out in me, but that's how it's been recently, hasn't it?
I know, and that's the gift that keeps on giving, Nico, Greek
Yeah.
football.
Where's
And
my apple?
as I guess it's a, I guess it's kind of like a sideways sort of transition to the next topic because it's related to EPO. So, under 21s coach Nikos Papadopoulos is expected to take interim charge of the Greek national team, the senior team that is, for the friendly against Germany on the 7th of June. So, yeah, but that in that respect, they've kind of more or less stated that there won't be a permanent Greek manager for. But for the friendly in June, so they want the friendly to go ahead, but they won't pick a new coach until after the friendly for the Nations League, And for the World Cup qualifiers, I presume as well. So, I mean, I guess it kind of makes sense because they can't be bothered to bring in a new coach, Nigar. I mean, any strong feelings about this?
Oh, when you say the word ethnic gear, it's sort of like, really, like I'm still, it's that penalty shootout in Georgia left such a sour taste in the mouth that I honestly can't be asked for this Germany friendly, honestly. It'll probably be televised for us on Optus in Australia, but that's a disaster still. I still can't believe we're not going to the Euros.
I know. And again, another
Makes me sick.
you perfectly got me onto the next topic, Nigo, which is Yorgos Yagoumakis, who apparently is set to decide his future with the Greek national team. So the Euro playoffs eliminations to Georgia was painful for him, and the demands of traveling from the US to Europe is taxing while he has called Atlanta his home. So the one of the
Yeah.
men who missed the penalties that in the shootout that stopped Greece going to Euro 2024 has more or less said that he's not going to compete for the national team anymore. That's pretty much what he said without actually saying, yeah, I could be wrong, but the way in which the things that he said in the interview, yeah, he's Yagoumakis is not going to be part of the Greek national team anymore. And I would you say it's a bit of a loss, Nigar, or would you say it's just kind of part and parcel of what's going on at the moment?
I might be a minority. Yeah, I'm. What's the word? Indifferent. I don't think it's much of a loss, honestly. How many goals has he scored for the national team? No more than three, four goals max. No big loss. He's not getting any younger. He chose to go to America. His problem. Good luck to him. Whatever he does over there, but he chose to go there and fly back and forth. So he created this for himself and. It's not a position where we're struggling in per se. We've got Ioannidis, we've got Pavlidis, we've got Douvikas. There are plenty of options.
Yeah, and like you said, Nico, it's his career choice to go there. And you know, again, apologies to any MLS fans or Atlanta fans who are listening. But at the end of the day, he took the money. He was at Celtic, where he was in a, you know, decent enough European league, playing for a decent enough European side, who was winning the league every season and getting into European competition. And he could have easily stayed there or gone somewhere else in Europe to, you know, to be part of the national team or to just compete in what we would say is probably a better quality, better competitive league overall. But he's made that decision, and that, you know, you live and die by those decisions in your footballing career, which isn't very long. And fair play to him, you know, like I said, it's a short career, take the money if you can. But he's sacrificing his opportunity to play for the Ethniki, and
That's
Nigar,
right.
it's not a big loss. You know, I think it's a loss in the respect of he is a good player, and so it is nice to have our good players available, as we've said in the past, with Zolis, who's not been, who wouldn't who's never called up under Poyet, Fortunis, who's now retired. But Yagoumakis hasn't done that much for the national team. He's not scored the goals. Ioannidis is pretty much our nailed-on starter for striker now, and we have Douvikas and Pavlidis behind him as well, and other younger players who are coming through the under-21s. So Yagoumakis, thank you for your time with the Ethniki for the little goals you did score. And look, if he comes out and changes his mind, great. But I don't think he will, considering his sort of take on the matter. But yeah,
Yeah.
I think that's everything, Nick. We've managed to get through it within an hour, with you know, with internet for internet dropping and so much to talk about. We've managed it. We've done
I'm amazed we got through that in an hour, eh?
it. Yeah, no, I know, but you know, we managed it, and I'm pleased because there was a lot to talk about. And I don't know when we'll next be on actually, because there'll be Greek Easter, so there won't be any
We'll
fixtures.
figure something. We'll figure something out.
Yeah, we'll figure something. Maybe we'll do one specially for the first leg of the Europa Conference League, potentially. Maybe. We'll
Possibly,
see. Yeah. But no, thank you so much for listening, guys. We really
time
appreciate
differences, as we said.
Yeah, I'm really nervous, man. I'm really nervous about the game. Yeah, we'll leave it there. So thank you guys so much for listening. We appreciate the support that you've. Oh, did you have something else you want to say?
Yeah, just kalia anastasi to all. Ke
Yes.
kalo pasta. Enjoy the weekend ahead.
Yes, Christos Anesti to everyone who is going to be celebrating Greek Easter this weekend. And I support re I'm sorry, I celebrate regular Easter and Greek Easter, so I get two Easters. Forgive me that.
We've
But
been waiting
yes,
patiently there. 6 weeks
exactly.
gap this year.
I know, I know. Right. So that, yeah. Well, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for supporting us on social media as always. And if you haven't already, give us a follow on X, or which is formerly known as Twitter, on Facebook and on Instagram. And if you haven't already, please give a 5-star review for this podcast and recommend us to anyone who wants to know more about Greek football and listen to a bunch of guys chatting shit about the gift that keeps on giving. And we really appreciate the support. And thank you, Nigo, for jumping on to talk to me about the game between Villa and Olympiacos. And we will catch you guys probably after Greek Easter. Well, if we don't manage to do a preview of the second leg as a special podcast, we will certainly be back after the second leg is done. So we'll catch you guys then. See you later.